Please stand for the reading of God's Word. And remember, beloved, these are the very written words of God. Psalm 133, a song of ascents of David. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has bestowed his blessing, even life forevermore. Grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. May he add his blessing to it. You may be seated. This past week, Stephanie and I had the bittersweet experience of saying goodbye to a church family that's been involved in Providence Presbyterian Church since day one. Bitter for obvious reasons. Josiah and Jennifer Jones have been a vital part of our church plant since the first Sunday school class at Park Place Motors, and now they're making their way to seminary in North Carolina at Reformed Theological Seminary. And that's why it's sweet as well, because I know where they're going and I know what's in store for them when they get there, because I've experienced what they're about to experience, and it's wonderful. Stephanie and I thoroughly enjoyed my time in seminary. In fact, I think it was one of the most wonderful periods of our married life, without question. And so last Sunday, we had the Jones over, Josiah and Jennifer and their new son, Caden. And we shared story after story about our time in seminary. Probably too many stories. I'm sure that we were boring them to tears. But as I reflected about the stories that we told, there was one theme that ran throughout all the stories, and it was the people. Of all the things that we enjoyed about our time in seminary, it was the unity and community and the fellowship of the Lord's people that we enjoyed the most. That's not to say I didn't enjoy my time in seminary. The classes, they were tremendous, and the theology was life-changing, but it was the fellowship of the Lord's people that was the highlight. Time with other students, fellowship with professors, fellowship with fellow members of our little church plant in Charlotte, North Carolina. Those things were wonderful. And as we were telling these stories, I was also reminded of when we were on vacation in Charlotte just a few weeks ago, one night we dedicated to getting together with those beloved friends in Charlotte. And it was a glorious evening indeed. These were some of our seminary friends, some of our church friends, and we just had a delightful evening. It's like no time had passed at all. We were immediately comfortable with each other and just delighted in one another's company. And when the evening grew to a close, we were all sad because we didn't want it to end. It was so great. It was so wonderful to be together with these believers. They are closer in some ways than our blood relatives. And I think our experience that evening kind of captures the essence of what David is getting at in Psalm 133, when David says in verse 1, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like that. It's wonderful. It's refreshing. And it's renewing. This psalm would have been sung as thousands of Israelites, perhaps hundreds of thousands of Israelites, would have gathered from all over Israel into Zion, into Jerusalem, for one of the three primary feasts that Israel celebrated. So I just want you to imagine the Israelites singing Psalm 133. It was a song of ascent as they were climbing up the Temple Mount into Jerusalem. The unity and community that they would experience by being reunited as brothers and sisters in the faith. Now remember, during David's lifetime and afterwards, unity was not always a present thing in Israel, not by any stretch. They were often at odds and fighting with one another. In fact, just a short time after David died, the United Kingdom of Israel was rent asunder as the North seceded from the Union. It was a terrible day in Israel's history, but not this day. Not this day. This day, David was looking perhaps over the walls of Jerusalem and seeing all of the Israelites stream into Jerusalem, unified around their love for the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. And so Psalm 133 consists of three things. A statement of the pleasantness of unity in verse 1. Two metaphors about unity are present in verses 2 through 3a. And then a conclusion about the blessing of unity in verse 3b. And so I want to take a look at these three verses and apply them to our little church here in Dallas, Texas. Let's look at verse 1. David says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity." Now, before we get too far, I want to look at the first word of the psalm, because the first word of the psalm sets this psalm apart from almost every other psalm in the Psalter. This is only one of the only two psalms in the Psalter that begins with the Hebrew word hene, or behold. And by using that term, hene, he wants to direct your attention to something. He wants you to see how wonderful it is when God's people enjoy yakad, which is this Hebrew term for unity. And that yakad is not simply the absence of quarreling and fighting. It's actually the presence of something. As Matthew Henry states, this yakad, what is it? What is this unity? It's delighting in each other with mutual endearments and promoting each other's welfare with mutual services. He says sometimes it's chosen as the best expedient for preserving peace that brethren should live asunder and at a distance from each other. That indeed may prevent enmity and strife. And he's saying there are some circumstances that perhaps would warrant not an organic unity. He's saying it's legitimate for perhaps there to be maybe different denominations. You know, we have a spiritual unity with denominations that share our common bond with the Lord Jesus. We may not have organic unity, but we certainly have spiritual unity, like when Abraham separated from Lot. Okay, they were separated in a sense, but they were also unified in another sense. And it goes on to say, "But the goodness and pleasantness are for brethren to dwell together. And so dwell in unity, to dwell even as having one heart, one soul, and one interest." And I think that's what David is getting at. Okay, he's pointing out the blessing that it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity of heart, mind, and purpose. And that purpose in context is worship. And that's important to note, because people are unified by all kinds of different things. People are unified by nationality and skin color and gender and political party. But that's not the unifying factor here. The unifying factor here is their love and commitment to Yahweh. And brothers and sisters, that's what unites us at Providence Presbyterian Church as well. Our common love for and commitment to our Trinitarian God. That is the unifying factor at Providence Presbyterian Church. It's not the sorority or fraternity that we went to. It's not the college we went to, or even if we went to college. It's not our socioeconomic status or how much money we make or don't make. That is not the unifying factor among Christian brothers and sisters. The unifying factor that binds us all together is our common love for and service to the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. All those other distinctions fall away when we enter this place. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. When we enter this place of worship, we are all one in Christ Jesus, and we ought to remember that as we greet people when we walk in the door. When we remember how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. And when you come to church, okay, we shouldn't be thinking about all those other things. We should be thinking about the joy that we have in terms of this communion with the saints. So to summarize the essence of verse 1, there are many wonderful things about life in the church. But the thing that David is talking about in this psalm is the unity and community and fellowship that we enjoy with brothers and sisters because of our common faith in the Lord our God. And I love this psalm because he doesn't just stop there. He doesn't want you to just understand this and agree with this in an academic way, in a cognitive way. He wants you to feel this. He wants you to experience this. And so he's going to compare Christian unity and community to things that are near and dear in his heart. Things that his hearing and an original reading audience would have immediately understood. So he employs two metaphors to try to get the reader to understand what he's getting at. And he likens this unity and community to two things. The oil that runs down Aaron's head and his beard, down his garments, and he also likens this unity to the dew from Mount Hermon. So let's look at those two metaphors for just a moment. Let's look at verse 2. David says, this unity, this harmony between brothers and sisters, it's like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. And this metaphor is working at a number of levels. The first level is that this anointing shows unity in that when the oil was poured out on the high priest's head, the oil would start at the head, and then it would drip down on the beard and drip down on his garments all the way down to his feet. And so that showed unity. It showed the unity of his entire body. The oil unified his head to his feet. Oneness. Okay, so that's the first level. The oil connects his entire body. But there's another level of meaning here, another layer. Because this feast probably occurred during the early spring, or the summer, or the fall. It was a very hot, a very dry season in Jerusalem. Very difficult to survive during that time of year. And so oil during this time of year would have been very refreshing. It was like a healing balm to dried and burned out skin. And it would help mitigate the smell, because you got to understand, this was written in the ancient Near East thousands of years ago. People weren't showering every day. Okay? There wasn't all these lotions, you know, that you could buy at the supermarket. People smelled terrible. It was dry, it was dusty, it was hot. And so to have this oil, okay, available to you would have been very refreshing, very renewing. And you see, this wasn't just any old regular garden variety oil. This was a special oil. Okay? It was an oil connected to Aaron. And this oil is mentioned in Exodus 30. In Exodus 30, it says, Yahweh said to Moses, take the following fine spices and make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It would have smelled incredible. So delightful. This will be the sacred anointing oil. Anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests. Say to the Israelite, this oil is to be my sacred anointing oil for the generations to come. Don't pour it on men's bodies and do not make any oil with the same formula. It's sacred. It's holy. And you're to consider it set apart. So David's point is, the unity that we enjoy as brothers and sisters is like this sacred anointing oil. It is that special. It is that set apart. That's how great fellowship is between brothers and sisters in Christ. And I was just thinking about it. You know, how to like really experience this, how to feel this. Again, he wants you to feel this. No doubt most all of you in here have been sunburned at one time or another. And I've got to just tell a funny story. I'm sorry, that just came to me, and this young man will not appreciate it. The most I've ever seen anyone sunburned was at an RUF summer conference, okay? And so summer conference in RUF happens in May. And so, you know, we would take all of our students from Dallas to Laguna Beach, Florida, and everybody was just pasty white. They hadn't been in the sun. And so we go out, and they've got a whole week at the beach, okay, to bronze their bodies and to get their first suntan of the summer. And so I always gave them a speech before we went out on the beach. I said, you've got to really be careful because it is hot here, and it is easy to get sunburned. And so you really need to put on the sunscreen and be liberal with the portions. And I had one student so patronizingly come up to me and kind of pat me on the head. He said, David, you know, you don't need to worry about that with me. I'm fine. You know, I'll be just great out there. And I said, well, what's the deal? And he said, well, I'm from Miami, and I was born and raised in Florida, so I'll be just fine. And I promise you, his skin was as white as any of your shirts out here, your white shirts. His skin was so white. And I was like, what, do you have a sun shield or something? Is that, you know, living in Miami, did that give you some kind of special protection? You know, he pats me on the head. He goes, I'll be just fine. And those students who were on that trip, who are here today, can assure you that I'm not embellishing, that night at dinner, he was purple. Absolutely purple. And he was dying for some aloe. I mean, he was purple. He was shivering. He couldn't go out in the sun the rest of the week. So we went to the, Sam's or whatever, and got, you know, vats and vats of aloe. And we put it on his back, and you could just see the relief and feel the relief is that cool balm went on his skin. And I want you to imagine that. I'm sure all of you have used aloe at one time or another. How good it feels and the relief that it brings. That's what David says that fellowship with brothers and sisters is like. But he doesn't stop there. He uses another metaphor in verse 3a. So not only is the unity that we experience like the oil on Aaron's body, it's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Now, Zion's another name for Jerusalem. Mount Hermon was 9,200 feet and was the highest and most beautiful mountain in all of Palestine. It was about 130 miles north. It's about 130 miles north of Jerusalem. It is snow-capped year-round, and at the base of Mount Hermon, you can find beautiful and lush and green gardens. It's wonderful. And when the cool air blows off Mount Hermon and meets the hot and arid air of the desert, clouds form which produce copious dew, which is penetrating and soaking and saturating to the ground. And so it's no wonder that you can find orchards and fertile fields at the base of Hermon. And he wants you to imagine that. Again, it's not, you know, when we think of dew, we think of like, you know, the little water droplets on the top of grass when we walk out to get our paper in the morning. It's nothing like the dew we experience in North Texas. It is absolutely saturating, like a rain. And on certain summer days, hot certain summer days that we can relate to right now when it's going to be 107 degrees today. Imagine if there was a mountain nearby and on certain summer days, cool breezes would waft off Mount Hermon, bringing refreshment and relief from the heat. David is comparing unity to that because on certain days in the summer, breezes would blow off Hermon and blow down into the mountains near Jerusalem and bring dew, which was refreshing, which is renewing. He says fellowship is just like that. And so that begs the question, have you ever experienced this personally? Have you ever felt this, what it's like to have that kind of unity and community with other believers? Are you experiencing that now, currently? At wherever you go to church, or the members of Providence Presbyterian Church, can you say that's true of you here? That unity and community with God's people is that refreshing. Do you look forward on Sunday morning to coming to church to be with other Christians? Is that a highlight of the week for you? Because it should be. Definitely should be. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. You know, God said in the beginning, it's not good for man to be alone, that he would make a helper suitable for him. And I know in context that refers to marriage, but I think it speaks beyond marriage. because God designed us to be in unity and community with other people. God has given gifts to His church that edify the whole. It's God's will, it's God's design that I share my gifts with you and that you share your gifts with me. God calls us to bear one another's burdens. Okay, in 2 Corinthians, God says, God comforts us so that we can be a comfort to other people. It is good and pleasant when brothers dwell together in unity. I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I did a wedding in Seattle, Washington, for an old college roommate. It was a beautiful wedding. It was great to be with some of my old college buddies. And I arranged my plane flight so that I could leave on Sunday afternoon so that I could attend church out in the Seattle-Tacoma area. And so on Sunday morning, I got a cab, and I found a local PCA church. And I hadn't been in the door more than 5 minutes when I was incredibly warmly received. The people were so gracious and so welcoming. And when they found out that I attended a PCA church in Dallas, it's like they rolled out the red carpet for me. Okay, they invited me to lunch. They took me back to my hotel. There was an undeniable bond between us because of our common love for Jesus Christ. I had known them for more than 120 minutes, and you would have thought that we had known each other for years. That is only true among Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not saying that we can't have friends, you know, with non-believers. But fellowship finds its fullest expression as we commune with the Lord's people. When we are with the Lord's people, there is no such thing as like single people or married people or blue-collar people or white-collar people or people that enjoy this kind of music or that kind of music. The most important thing is the fact that we have union with Christ because we are united with Him. We are united with other believers. And we will enjoy that union forever in the new heavens and the new earth, world without end. That is our common bond. And I hope and pray that over time, that bond is the most significant one that you share with people. I really do. And again, I don't mean to diminish your college experience or where you're from or things like that. But that's not the most important thing. There should be an immediate connection when you are with the Lord's people. An undeniable bond present that should bring all of you together. You know, in the world, you would never have a motley crew like this coming together, okay? In the world, you would never have all these different kinds of people enjoying true union and communion with each other. Okay, this type of unity is an apologetic to the world that the gospel is true, that we are one in Christ Jesus. It's an incredible thing. And I'll say this. You know, the metaphors talk about how refreshing it is, how needed it is. But the reverse is also true. If you are not enjoying the unity and community that can only be experienced with other people, you are missing out on something. You are detached. You are isolated in ways that you were not designed to be. And it is not healthy. It is not right. And that needs to be repented of. And you need to pray that the Lord would bring into your life these kinds of relationships. And it's my prayer that we will more and more grow in our unity and community and love for one another at Providence Presbyterian Church. People often ask me, David, how's the church plant going? And you've heard me say this before, and I respond, well, it's really not a church plant, it was a church hatch. You know, because oftentimes in church planting, it starts out with three families in someone's basement, you know, singing hymns and enjoying one another's fellowship, and the growth is steady but slow in unity and community. Is slowly and gradually built over time. In our situation, you took 200 people, slammed them together in Park Place Motors, and there you have a church. Okay? And there's nothing normal or natural about that. That's not an excuse. It's just the way that it is. And I've encouraged, you know, over time in a variety of ways for us to, you you know, make a priority about the community and unity that we have as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I am happy to say that I have seen that change. I've seen unity and community grow at Providence Presbyterian Church. And I think we still have a long way to go. And I want to encourage us in that. More than anything else, our desire to start Sunday school this fall, more than anything else, the primary reason that our session felt that it was a good time to start Sunday school is because we need other avenues of developing this unity at Providence Presbyterian Church. And I want to encourage all of you to avail yourselves of that venue in the fall. To get here early, okay, allow your kids to go to Sunday school, and then go enjoy fellowship with other believers. And I'm hoping the classes, you know, the adult classes with Ronnie and Carlton aren't going to be, you know, segmented according to demographics. I hope we have, like, the whole church, you know, represented in each of those classes. And I want you to listen to the prayer requests that people offer. And I want you to call people during the week and ask them how those things are going and how you can pray for them. And after Sunday school and church, I want you to continue to invite people over in your homes. And in addition to talking about who won the football game or this or that, you know, or how your children are doing in school, that's wonderful. I want you to share your testimonies with one another. I can't tell you what a unifying and bonding thing it is for you to share your testimony with someone else and have them share their testimony with you about how God is working in your life, sharing legitimate and genuine struggles. I can't tell you how bonding it is as the session listen to our deacon candidates and as we interview new members and we hear what God is doing in their lives. That's what bonds other people together. And the bonds of faith, I want those kinds of things to be happening at Providence Presbyterian Church. Because look at 3B. This is the reason. Listen to what David says, and I'll end with this. David says, for there, where is there? Meaning there, in Zion, okay? This unity and community that's enjoyed by the Lord's people as they worship in Zion. There in that place, there in that fellowship, with God's people, Yahweh has bestowed his blessing, even life forevermore. That's where life can be found. That's where his special presence can be found. And may that special presence grow and be more evident in Providence.